Hello, this is Marlena Lieberg, and we are having a bit of a different show tonight. Due to some technical difficulties, we will not be able to take live telephone calls, unfortunately. But nonetheless, we've got some good information here, and so let's get ready to get ready. With me tonight to help continue with our series on things that are going on at the 43rd National Convention in Birmingham, Alabama, is my friend, Connie David. Connie, welcome to this very different version of Marlena.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, thank you. And when we attempted this before, for listeners who are wondering what the heck we're talking about, we had some technical difficulties broadcasting, and so we're taping this in another way. When we attempted this before, Connie mentioned that she is a finance planner, financial
mm-hmm.
planner.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things she talked about was that she helps people to sort of plan for their retirement. And when we came back one time, I said, well, she's been here so long, she's now retired and using her winnings. But nonetheless, she's a good sport, and I appreciate you sticking with me. I invited Connie to join us to talk a bit about the special interest group of which she is president, and it is called Blind Friends of Lesbians and Gays. But before we do that, Connie, if you would tell folks just a bit about yourself and kind of get them to know you just a little bit.
Sure. I grew up in Iowa, and I moved to Minnesota in 1976, and I love it here. We've got some nasty winters sometimes, but they've been pretty decent lately. And so I love the changing seasons. Spring and fall are my two favorite seasons. And I was a teacher for 18 years. For seven of those, I taught early childhood family education. And for 10, I was a third grade teacher, and then I spent a year as a math resource teacher. And I got burned out and tired out, so I changed careers, and now I'm a representative with a financial company working with families to help them learn how to save money and get out of debt.
Ah, okay. Well, and that's another program in itself that I think that our listeners might be interested in talking with you a bit. So maybe after convention, when it all works right, I could bring you back and show you how it really works on the Marlena Show.
That'd be great.
We'd love to have you. Okay, so there is a special interest affiliate called Blind Friends of Lesbians and Gays.
Yeah.
And before you talk about the program for this year, and also I'm interested in kind of hearing some of the issues on which you guys are working throughout the year, could you talk a bit about how did it get formed and why did it get formed?
Sure. I think that gay and lesbian people were meeting informally at conventions for several years, and I think that in 1996 is when they really started to put little notices in the program saying that they were going to have a meeting, and the meetings were usually off in some corner room kind of out of the way because there's a certain amount of anonymity that sometimes people who are gay or lesbian or bisexual or transgender want to keep due to the public's perceptions and their reactions and the way that they're often perceived and treated, and that we are often perceived and treated in the public. And so in 1999, there was actually a room full of us in Los Angeles, and we at that time put together our first slate of officers and made the decision to apply for special interest affiliation, and at the February 19 or 2000 president's meeting, our information was presented, and we were granted affiliate status and received our charter in Louisville in 1990.
Go ahead.
Part of some of the things that forced us or pushed us, nothing forces us to do it, but that pushed us to think about affiliation was the fact that there seem to be a lot of myths and misconceptions about gays and lesbians and, also bisexual and transgender people. And we wanted to be able to be a resource for ACB. We wanted to be a resource for the public at large, particularly blind people and their families. If they had a friend or family member who was gay or lesbian, we wanted to be able to be available to assist that family with information and support as well as the gay or lesbian person. And we also know that there is a huge amount of inaccessible literature out there. And so one of our goals is to try to find ways to make literature available and information available in alternative formats to blind people, because we do need to know what's going on in our communities. We do need to know what's going on in our nation in as regard, you know, with, in regard to gay and lesbian issues. And so much of that comes across in print media, which is not always accessible. So, and we also wanted to be able to be supportive to each other, because there are a lot of issues that we face that we don't often get support for from the public at large, and so we need to do that for ourselves.
Okay, and so you got together and felt, and I think rightly so, that there was a need for this kind of a special interest organization.
Yeah.
And I'm about to ask you loaded questions because I was there. So I know some of the answers to some of these questions, but was it a struggle to bring people out and bring people forward, and then B, to work with other members of ACB?
I think that by 1999, the gay and lesbian people in ACB who had been meeting for all of these years, that incidentally was my first convention, so I guess I sort of threw myself in and became the treasurer right off the bat. So I think that that particular group had decided that they had had enough of meeting in dark, you know, back rooms, and we decided that there was enough that we needed to be able to do, and that we wanted to be more visible, because we also know that there are people who come to the convention who don't want to be out, but they still need to know that there's a place that they can go for information and support. And so that part for us didn't seem to be as big a struggle, because we were all sort of one mind. We just decided, let's just do it. And we had the necessary 25 members. And so that part was easy. And surprisingly enough, and it was really a surprise to me, most of the people in ACB that we have come in contact with have been very supportive of us and have said, you know, you guys really need to be here. We need to have you here and welcome. There is a faction, however, who strongly believes that we don't belong, and not only do we not belong in ACB, but we don't belong in society, I think. And it has a lot to do with, it's very prejudicial, and that's part of the reason that our being here is so necessary, because, you know, we are blind people, or people who are blind, just as the other members of ACB are. And who we sleep with or what we do in private is nobody's business, just as it's nobody's business what straight people do in private. I'm certainly not going to go around and ask what people do in their bedrooms. That's not any of my business. And so I think that part of what our job is to present ourselves as, quote, normal people, people like everybody else, who just happen to have a different affectional preference.
How many members does BFLAG have currently?
I would love to be able to answer that, but I think it's between 50 and 60. I don't know what the last count is.
So
people keep joining.
Yeah, so it has grown and continues to grow.
Yeah, actually, we received the increased membership award last year. We were the affiliate who, or I think our membership in the last, between 2002 and 2003, increased like 32 or 33%.
Wow, that's fabulous.
Well, it is, and that just goes to show that, yes, there are people out there who need us, and yes, there are people out there who support us. We have many well, not many. We have several straight members who are the friends part of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender community who have joined to show solidarity and support.
Tell us a bit about your program coming up in the next convention.
We are going to be doing a lot of different things. Sunday afternoon on July 4th, we will have our usual open house that we have every year. And that actually started the first year that in 2000 we started to have that. And it's been very well attended every year. It'll be from 2 to 5 on Sunday afternoon in the D-Flag Suite in the Sheraton. And I honestly have just forgotten the number. I want to say that it's 206.
It better be, or somebody in 207 is going to have a lot of company.
I didn't look that up, and I've been putting the convention schedule together, and I just didn't turn on my computer and look at it, and I should have, because I should have known you were going to ask me that.
If I end up in 207, I'm leaving.
No.
I'll just open the door and say, okay, here it is.
I honestly, it was the same suite that one of the things was in for the president's meeting, like the big Saturday night thing, and I can't remember what one that is. But anyway, that's embarrassing.
That's
so
okay.
Anyway.
It's called a technical glitch. We know those well.
Yeah, well, it's my, you know, my brain's on a technical glitch some days. But then Monday, every day, Monday through Thursday, I believe, and possibly Friday, unless we decide that we can't afford it and shut the suite down early, we're going to be offering a continental breakfast for our members, and, you know, just to give people a little way to help divert some of the cost for this, for the convention. So Monday night is our annual meeting, and I think it's 9 in the evening, and people say, well, why are you having it at night? Because everybody else has theirs during the day, and so many of our members are members of so many other affiliates that we had to find a time when we could probably get more people there. Last year, I think the board was the only people that are in our at our meeting, and that's really hard to get any work done that way. But then we're having a pizza party after that. Tuesday, or Monday afternoon, actually, I believe at 4:30. I'm really not sure about all these times, but these times will be in the program. Monday afternoon, we're going to have a workshop on housing, which is open to anyone who would like to attend, and we're going to be talking about different ways to fund housing and how to work with public housing people and how to buy. And Butch Arnold has been working for the state of Maryland and the city of Baltimore as one of their housing people in terms of making sure that things are accessible and meeting ADA codes and all that kind of stuff. So he's going to be presenting that workshop. Tuesday afternoon, I'm going to present a workshop on how money works, which will talk about a lot of different aspects of money, the rule of 72, what a mutual fund is, the two different kinds of life insurance, all kinds of different things about money and your finances and how all that works. Wednesday evening, we're going to have an outing to a place called Anthony's, and it's a place in Birmingham, and we went there during the president's meeting, and it's a fabulous Italian restaurant. The food is really good, and the staff is very friendly. So if you get a chance to go out, go to Anthony's. It's a great place. And Thursday night, we're going to be having a picnic in the suite, I think, because we were going to go to someplace else, but the establishment is closing right before the convention, so I guess we aren't going to be all cool there.
Well, you could, but
I don't think we had anything to do with that. But
it might be difficult to get a little service there, you know.
Yeah, right. So that's pretty much what we're doing, and then we're trying to leave as much of our daytime free as possible so that people can go do other things, because it's so hard to get it all in and balance it all out.
One thing that strikes me about this program is that it's a program that would have things of interest for anyone.
Exactly, and that's why anyone is invited. And everyone is encouraged to come because, you know, this is information that's good for all of us. And part of what we're trying to establish here is a working relationship with ACB. And also, you know, we don't want to be a closeted, closed group because that only increases people's views of the stereotypic views of us. And we don't want to be we want to be a part of ACB. We want to be integrated into ACB and not be this sort of on the fringe group. And the way that we can do that is to open ourselves up and offer programming that's good for everybody. Some of our programming, other people, straight people, unless you're, you know, really out there, probably aren't going to want to do with us. And that's fine. But the two programs, and then on Thursday afternoon, we're having an affiliate or a caucus, a joint caucus for the people running for the board. Is that called a caucus? What are we calling those? Anyway.
Yeah.
With AA, the Aging and Low Vision Loss Club. Okay, so we're combining that with them to do that. And so we want to try to do things with other groups and invite other people to join us in what we're doing so that, you know, and it's another way of letting people know we're here, we're a resource. You know, come and ask us, come and get information.
Let's take a duck into the chat room here and see if, let me make sure all the buttons are in the right positions, see if anyone in the chat room has a question that they might like to ask either about the program itself or BFLAG or, I mean, I would imagine that if there is someone who wanted to talk a bit about what it is like for them to be a person who is blind and who is gay, that's equally fine as well. So let's take a look into the chat room, and I will unkey.
I was just listening. I came in here only because according to the email I got from Dave Williams, it said that there was a problem with the MP3 stream, so... I find this BFLAG thing quite interesting. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but it must be something quite interesting. I know a friend of mine who's gay. He's I wouldn't say he's a friend of mine, but he's somebody I know that that I used to go to school with. I just graduated a couple of days ago, so. I guess my question is, what exactly is this organization and what exactly do they do? Maybe that's a question I should be kind of wondering about.
Okay, go ahead, Connie.
We are an organization of and for lesbians, gays, bisexual, and transgender gender people and their straight and sighted supporters. And basically, what we are trying to do is establish a way to be of support to people who are blind and gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender, and their friends and families, and to be a resource for education, to try and get information to people if they need it or talk to people and answer their questions that they may have about things surrounding and having to do with being gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and also to work to increase the availability of information that is often not accessible to people who are blind that have to do with the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender issues.
And let me unkey up and see if Matthew has any other questions.
Yes, this is David McElroy, and I do have a question. Quite frankly, the question I have is based on a premise. I'm not going to the convention this year. Part of the reason is because of the extremely poor job that was done on a financial presentation last year. Basically, a board member who is not a financial person conducted said seminar, and to be quite frank, it was a joke. My question to you, Connie, is were you asked ever to participate in a financial seminar with the ACB convention? I think, you know, you state that you want to be, you know, that you and the group, you know, obviously want to be a real part of ACB, and I think that your information would be incredibly beneficial. But the way it was portrayed last year, I can't say anymore. It was a joke. And I won't say who presented it. If you read back, and you can figure it out. But it was very poor, and I have to admit that's part of the reason I will not be attending this year. So I'll wait for your comment.
Okay, go ahead, Connie.
I didn't hear all of that because he was very difficult to hear. Can you?
Yeah, Dave, you were a little bit soft there. It's Dave McElroy, and he expressed some frustration over a financial seminar that occurred at last year's convention, and felt so strongly about it, in fact, that he says he's not going to the convention this year. But his question to you was, he thinks it's interesting that you're going to do this financial seminar, and have you ever been approached by ACB to help them with their financial seminars?
Last year, this is very interesting, because last year a financial workshop was one of seven that the people in leadership roles were asked to to comment on about which ones we thought would be most beneficial. And at that time, I said, yes, I thought that the financial one would be beneficial, and I offered to do it. And I sent in a brief synopsis of what mine would be and told the person in charge that if they wanted more information, they could certainly contact me, and I would be more than happy to submit more information. I never heard back, and obviously I didn't do it. But, yes, I did offer. They didn't ask me. I asked them. And since I didn't get to do it, and I heard some not, well, let's just say that I talked to some other people who attended that one, and that is one of the reasons that I decided to do it on my own this year.
So the good news is that it's going to be done from your perspective,
yes,
this year, and it is open to all members. It isn't just BFLAG members.
No. It's open to anyone at the convention who would like to come, and there's no charge for it. It's on Tuesday afternoon, and I really encourage people to come because I think that the information I'm going to be sharing is going to be beneficial. When I do these workshops, I always have people come up to me afterwards and say, "Oh my gosh, why hasn't anyone ever taught us this?" So I'm excited about doing it, and I'm really hoping that we have a good turnout because I think it's going to be a good workshop.
Well, I would love to bring you back on the show when we're fully live and functional after the convention, and maybe, you know, maybe we can air a bit of that. Maybe
absolutely.
Maybe I'll chat with you later through email, and maybe I can come and record some of that, and then air some of it, and then have you come on live and take questions from listeners.
That'd be great.
See, Dave, we'll bring it to you one way or another. Let's take another duck into the chat room and see if we have any other questions.
Hello there, Connie. It's Dave Williams here, Director of ACB Radio. Just a quick quick question. Do you feel, I'd say you in the kind of loose sense, either you personally or you being the representative of BFLAG, feel that blind people who are gay, lesbian, transsexual, that kind of fall into the remit that you've defined for BFLAG, do you think that those groups face particular problems over and above the various problems faced by fully able-bodied, sighted people who are lesbian or gay or transsexual?
All right, go ahead, Connie.
Yeah, I do, and that's why we formed as an affiliate. And I think that some of those problems have to do with, for example, access to information. For example, if I want to read a novel with lesbian characters, it's very difficult for me to get that. And there are some people out there who are going to say, yeah, but that's, you know, big deal. What's the big deal? Well, it is a big deal because we all need to see ourselves. We need to identify with people in literature. We all do. And that's why we read. That's one of the reasons I read anyway. And I don't identify with every character that I read about or that's in any of the books I read, but it's important for us to be able to see our lives reflected in society around us. And to be able to read and have information about the people who came before me who did the work in society that have helped get me to where I am now. Before Stonewall in 1969, for example, gays and lesbians were pretty hidden. And whatever they did, whatever we did in our lives, I mean, we didn't have the openness of all of the gay bars and things that we have now. If we had them, it was very secret, and you had to be careful about where you went and who saw you go in there, because you could lose your job, you could lose your kids, you could lose your apartment, you could lose everything that was important to you. And in some instances, we still can. We can still lose our jobs if a company or a state or a city doesn't have a clause that would protect us, okay, a non-discrimination clause. We do all the time lose our children because the courts decide that we're not fit parents to raise children because we happen to love someone of the same sex. These are and being blind compounds those issues because, as you know, blind people can either lose their jobs or not get them because of being blind. Blind people are often, I think there's a tendency to wonder whether blind people can be good parents because they're blind. And so, I think it's compounded by the fact that we're gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender, because those issues are doubled, I think.
It is just about halfway through our program. You're listening to Marlena in a little bit of a different format or forum tonight. We are not able to really take live calls. If you're listening to this at any time other than 1 to 2 Universal, you are listening to a replay. We've had some technical glitches going live on the broadcast tonight, so we are working within the confines of the chat room at our place, acbradio.org. But I do see that there are a number of people in the chat room, which is just great. And my guest tonight is Connie David. Connie is the president of BFLAG, Blind Friends of Lesbians and Gays, which is a special interest group of the American Council of the Blind. And we're talking about a bit about what's coming up in the BFLAG convention program and a bit about sort of the combination of living life as a blind person who is also gay, lesbian, or transgender person. Did I get all that right?
Bisexual.
I knew I forgot one. Doggone it. And so if anyone is listening in the chat room and you would like to call, you can actually do that. The telephone number is 1-866-666-7926. If you'd rather call in on the phone, the chat room will hear you, Connie will hear you, and I will hear you. So if you'd rather speak to us that way, that will work as well. We're just simply not streaming. You mentioned a few things that brought some interest to me, and you talked about how in the late 60s, early 70s, that people who were gay could not be open at all, could not openly go to clubs, etc. I remember marching in the Christopher Street marches. Are you familiar with those in Greenwich Village?
I've heard of them. I'm not terribly familiar with them just because it's a little before I came out, and so I wasn't really paying attention.
Well, everybody's old. You know, I'm probably old enough to be everybody's grandmother. But
well, I also came out late. So.
Oh, good. Okay, good. Make me feel better. Good. The Christopher Street marches were marches. They may still be going on for all I know. I don't know. They were precursors to what we have here in the U.S., the Gay Pride Week and Day. But these were in the, oh, golly, I want to say 69, 70, where people would converge on Greenwich Village in New York City and literally have this wonderful march. And that was really my first experience with seeing all kinds of people. People, you know, who were gay, lesbians, bisexual, transgender, and straight people. And I'll never forget, actually, one of the marches on which in which I participated, I met Dr. Spock, you know, the baby doctor.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, because he was really into the gay rights movement before it ever had that name. But one of the things that I so clearly remember, and it's a very sad thing for me to actually remember this, I've never forgotten, is how when the national TV cameras focused on people, they would put their signs in front of their faces.
Yes, because they still didn't want to be recognized and identified. Because they could still, if they could identify you and you were associated with it, even if you weren't gay, someone could claim that you were, and you could, you know, start losing your job, start losing your place of residence, all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's very sad. And you know, there are still people, for example, teachers who work in the public school system have to be careful. I worked in a district where they did adopt a non-discrimination clause. And so, but if teachers want to participate in gay pride parades and things like that, in some places they still have to be very careful because it would be very easy for a disgruntled parent to say, or a disgruntled student to say that they had been inappropriately touched or molested by a teacher who was known to be gay. And that teacher would then be in, you know, dire potential of losing his or her job based on a falsehood.
Now, what you just said brings up another question. We know, as people who are blind, we know that we use our hands.
That's right.
A lot. I mean,
right.
we absolutely, you know, go to any convention. Stand in an elevator, honey. It's a religious experience.
But, honey, I think getting on the elevator is a religious experience.
Oh, dear me. Gary the board guy is coming to convention with me this year. I've been trying to get him ready. But how does this compound what you guys deal with? And do you guys talk about that? Is that something that is of concern?
Yes, it is of concern. And we are available to talk about this kind of stuff. And that's part of the reason that we're having our own suite this year, because we want to be able to have a place where people can find us and find people to talk to about these kinds of issues. As I told you, I taught third grade for 10 years. You don't work with little kids without touching. You just don't. At least I don't. I'm a hugger, okay? When I'm sitting down next to a child, I put my arm around that child because I can't connect visually with that child, so I have to find another way. And that way is often physical. Or I'll touch a child's shoulder or hand. I'm careful, you know, I don't touch anything I shouldn't touch. But I also would send a letter home in the fall to every one of my parents saying, I'm blind, I will be touching your child on the hand or the shoulder or the head or whatever, because that's my way of connecting with that child. But I sent that home every year so that no one could accuse me of inappropriate touching. Now, if I were a sighted teacher, I wouldn't be doing that. I wouldn't have to worry about it as much, but as a gay teacher, I would have to worry about it, even if I were sighted, because it is an issue. And when you compound that with blindness, you got to think about it.
Let's take another duck into the chat room and see if anyone there has any questions for Connie.
I've got another question, but I'll just release it here a second and see if anybody else. I don't want to hog the floor. Okay, hearing none. I would ask Connie, I don't expect you to have the answer to this, because people have been debating this one for years and years, and I'm sure they will for a long time into the future. There's kind of two parts to this question. Firstly, How do you think one's sexual orientation is determined? I guess it's the whole nature nurture question. What's your take on that? And I suppose the second part of the question is that throughout the program, we've been trying to put these various sexual orientations into discrete categories, i.e., bisexual, homosexual, transsexual, and so on. Do you think it's as simple as that, or do you think that sexuality is and sexual orientation are more like continuums? So there's my question. To be going on with.
All right.
Oh, good.
That's a good question.
Well, first of all, let me attack the nature nurture thing. In my family, I have a gay sister and two gay nieces, and one of those gay nieces have an aunt on their father's side who is gay. Now, if there isn't something to heredity here, I'd like someone to prove it. You can't have that many gay people in one family and there not be something to heredity, in my opinion. So I believe that there is a hereditary factor. To lead into the other part of your question, I believe that sexuality is on a continuum, and I believe that I think we place ourselves on a continuum either directly or indirectly. I mean, there are people out there who are seriously heterosexual and wouldn't be caught dead partnering with someone of the same sex. And there are people out there who are seriously gay or lesbian who wouldn't be caught dead partnering with someone of the opposite sex. And then there are those people in the middle who are clearly bisexual who they look at the person more than the sex, and that's sort of how they formulate it. I think that sexual attraction is just that. I mean, I don't know how you define it. I don't know how you qualify it. I'm not sure what makes it up. And I don't know what makes, some people gay and lesbian and other people straight. I don't have an answer for that. I don't think anybody does. I don't believe that it has a lot to do with the way that we're brought up, because if you look at children that are raised by lesbian moms or gay dads, they are often straight. So I believe that it's more heredity than anything else. That's my personal opinion. And, I don't know what the literature says. I think the literature right now is pretty confused about it, too.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think, the literature will pretty much say wherever you read from.
That's right.
I certainly have not done great gobs of scholarly reading on this or any other topic, but I think it just depends upon where you go. If you go to the far right, by golly, it's an illness, and
it's a choice, and you better make a better one.
That's right. Just.
Well, and I also believe that we have within us the capabilities for the whole continuum. And I think it just sort of, I don't know. I think that there are some aspects that maybe, I think the choice in it is whether or not to act on our feelings. That's the choice in it.
Do you think it's more difficult if you are blind to maybe not recognize the feeling, but to get the courage to act on the feeling?
Yeah, because when you are in a, when you're in a situation, in any situation, the way most people make contact with each other, sighted people, is visually. We also, being blind, don't have the benefit of reading community gay newspapers and that kind of thing, which would tell us the events that we could go to and places that we could go to meet other gay or lesbian people. And once we're there, people don't know how to deal with us as blind people. So not only do we have difficulty connecting with people because we don't have the vision to help us, but people have difficulty connecting with us because they don't know how. and they're hesitant. Or, I mean, there are people in the world who jump in with both feet and come over and grab you by the hand and say, come on over and sit down, you know. But I think, yes, I think it's compounded.
Do you, my question just went right out of my head. What the heck was I going to ask you?
Technical difficulty.
Dear me, talk about reformatting of the hard drive of the highest order here. Let me go into the chat room and maybe someone else there will have a question and I can think of what my question was. If you have a question for Connie and you're in the chat room right now, please feel free to key up. Or remember, the chat room folks, you can still call at 1-866-666-7926. Let's take a check into the chat room.
Okay, I'm going to ask another question as nobody's come forward. It is a subject that does interest me. I'm straight myself, but I do have gay friends, and it's a topic certainly that I find fascinating. Connie, what do you say to that? I mean, you mentioned earlier, touched on the very extreme view that some people may take that being anything other than quotes straight is somehow an illness. What do you say to somebody who seriously believes that?
You know, that's a really difficult one, and we have to decide. It's a pick your battles kind of thing. And sometimes it's easier to, you know, to just say, well, I'm sorry you feel that way, and I hope that, you know, I want to say to them, I hope that no one in your family is gay or lesbian, because if they are, you are certainly going to cut them off very quickly. Sometimes you can say nothing. Sometimes you just have to walk away. And it's difficult. We had a rally here not too long ago because the state of Minnesota wanted to bring forth an amendment to the Constitution that would prohibit gay and lesbian marriages. And they had a huge rally at the Capitol. And the Christian right was in great evidence there. And, I mean, they were screaming over the microphones things like gay and lesbian people should burn in hell and, you know, all this kind of, I mean, my goodness, I don't know what Christianity they believe in, but it certainly isn't the same Christianity that I believe in if you're yelling things like that about people. And sometimes there's really nothing that you can say. And my only question to them is, how does who I am have any impact on you?
And you know what? We have a call. So we're going to bring the caller into the room. Hello, caller. With whom are we speaking and from where are you calling?
Hello. This is Pam.
Hi there.
Hi. I wasn't sure if it was me or not because I don't hear any difference between what we're hearing on the line and on or off hold, or I guess I'm not on hold.
Nope, you are live and direct.
Maybe
now.
Maybe never was on hold. Whatever. Anyway, well, first of all, my comment. You're bringing back, Connie, a very, very sad memory. My sweetheart Dave's brother is gay. In fact, he is in the process of fighting AIDS.
Oh.
And he was featured in the local newspaper to sort of give the face of AIDS, I believe is what they called it. They wanted to put a name and face on this person. Well, he suffered some very, very awful discrimination. Woman's husband yells to the woman, don't pick up that watermelon. The man that has AIDS touched that.
Oh, God.
And what really struck me as being so sad was that, I was sitting in his car while he ran in to get something in the house one day in his apartment, and there was a whole bunch of the Christian right out there.
Yep.
Praying in front of his house. A total bedlam of God forgive the sinner and that sort of thing.
Let's hope they were praying for a cure to AIDS.
I'm sorry?
Let's hope they were praying for a cure to AIDS.
If they only were. I mean, what they were saying had nothing to do with cure, let me tell you, except for curing what they perceived as sin.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of the most disgusting incidents I've ever witnessed. But what I was really going to ask you was, you're talking about literature and gay newspapers and the like. Has BFLAG thought of taking a local, and I haven't really been listening to the whole show from the very beginning, so if this has been mentioned, please forgive me.
That's okay, Pam. It's been a bit of a challenge to listen to the whole show tonight. We had some technical stuff going on.
Yeah, I know you did.
Yeah.
And I will listen to it later on. But have you thought of putting out a paper, or maybe even with the appropriate permission and given the appropriate equipment, donations of same or whatever, or the use of same, putting out magazines in alternative media, putting out, I know there used to be a group, there used to be a women's...
Women's Braille Press.
Women's Braille Press, yes. And I wonder if you'd thought anything about that. Of course, this term would be gay and lesbian, whereas I believe they were lesbian, weren't they?
Pretty much, but they did, there was another group called Lambda Resource Center that mainly handled the gay materials. We are a very young and very small and very financially not very solvent organization at this point. And
yes, that's why I said donation.
Yeah. Well, we would need huge donations because it's a very expensive process to put things into Braille. But we could, if we could find the volunteers to help us do it and get permission and have the space to do the recording and the equipment to do the recording and all of that kind of thing, and maybe even some money to pay some people to do some recording, we could possibly put some things out. It's a very time-consuming process, and it's a very expensive process, and then to disseminate it is even a little trickier. And right now we don't have a person power, because being an affiliate that's stretched out all over the United States,
mm-hmm.
to try and coordinate something like that, it would be a Herculean effort. And yes, we would love to do it. Now what we're trying to work on is trying to get publications to make their online publications accessible.
Oh, absolutely. That's one of the benefits of the net for those of us who have it.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the people who don't have computers are still in the dark or still out of the loop, and
mm-hmm.
we know that. And so that's one of our goals, is to make information accessible. It's in our bylaws.
Well, thanks
part
a million.
So.
All right. Well, thank you, Pam.
Okay, Marlena. Take care.
Have a great night.
You too. Bye.
Bye. That's the whole dissemination of information is just
it's
a nightmare.
We're having difficulty right now because we ran into some technical difficulties and I can't talk. But just getting our newsletter out this time has been. We do have a newsletter that comes out twice a year to our members, and the people who get it on cassette, there's about 11 people who haven't gotten theirs yet, and I want to publicly apologize to them. You will get them sometime between now and the next issue, but we run into some technical difficulties, and so once we get those worked out, you will get your newsletter, I promise.
Let's take another quick look into the chat room, and then I've got a couple of questions.
Did you write them down?
I did. Watch it, girl. Let's take a look in the chat room.
Okay, just very quickly before I forget, and I'm aware that Marlene is only with us for another few minutes, and she has some questions of her own. I just wanted to ask you, Connie, or invite you, or extend an open invitation. If at some point B-Flag wanted to make their newsletter available in an audio format via ACB Radio, then certainly we would be interested in talking with you about that, and obviously I can be contacted at the usual address, support@acbradio.org, or via Marlena, of course.
That would be fabulous. I would love to do that, and I would love to talk with you about that. And Marlena also has my email address and phone number, so we will connect, because that might have solved our difficulty this time, but, you know. But thank you.
And actually, that's something that I think we'd like to offer to any of our special interest affiliates, lest anyone should say, well, they didn't offer that to us. I think it's a fabulous use of the ACB Radio resource. So as recruitment, no, what am I? Outreach director. Who knows what I am?
Please, we get accused of recruiting anyway. I know.
I better not say that word, huh? As the janitor here, I sweep the floor and try to find new program material to help Dave out in whatever way I can. So that's a fabulous idea. And that kind of goes into my next question. We've got probably about another 6 minutes.
Okay.
You touched on this earlier, but I really want to draw this out if, in fact, it is something that BFLAG offers. Do you, at convention, certainly, and certainly any other time of the year, but particularly at convention, do you offer an opportunity for people to come and talk, not to receive counseling necessarily, but people who really just need somebody to talk to, who are trying to sort out who they are and where they are in the continuum of their sexuality?
We offer a support group every evening, later on in the evening, and those are listed in the BFLAG program as well. We do offer that, and every night is Monday through Sunday through Thursday. I can't even remember now. Check your convention program. And also, if people have a need and need to talk with someone, they can go to bflag.org, bflag.org, which is our website, www.bflag.org, and send a message to me. It would come up as president. Send a message to me and let me know that you are looking for support or looking for help. And also, I believe that my phone number is listed. One of my many phone numbers is listed. And if you want to give me a call, you can do that. And I will try to either talk with you or put you in touch with someone else who can talk with you, or, you know, maybe someone in your area that you can get together with or whatever. But, yes, that is a part of what we want to be able to help people do.
And, of course, with the utmost respect for privacy.
Absolutely.
And confidentiality.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I know that the Guide Dog Users group does this. Mm-hmm. The Guide Dog Users calls it empathizers.
Right.
Because sometimes having your dog at the convention, especially if it's your first one, can be a real interesting thing.
And they also provide that to people who have just lost, that had to put a dog to sleep.
That's right.
Tired or whatever.
That's right.
It's a wonderful service.
Yeah, it really is. And another thing I wondered about, kind of briefly, but is BFLAG working with the whole issue of in the various states of the legalization of gay marriage?
We are not, because we are not equipped to do that. What we do is encourage our members to get involved in the areas in which they live, and to try to affect change in that way. But as an organization, we have, you know, again, it's because of how we're so all over. There's no real way to organize.
Sure, sure.
And when you've only got 50 to 60 members, which, you know, is a lot, but not a lot, and they're isolated in different places, you know, there is a huge contingent in Baltimore, and there's another contingent in, I don't know, Oklahoma or somewhere. I don't even know where they all are, but, you know, we're all over. And so it's a question of getting involved on the local level, and we do encourage people to do that.
Do you provide any sort of list of resources for sort of local groups in various parts of the country that people can affiliate with?
We are actually trying to compile something like that, but again, we need members to help us too, and to help us send in what they know. And so, again, if you are a listener out there, and whether you're gay or not, if you know of resources in your area that would be beneficial, just go to bflag.org and send a message to me, and with that information in it, and then we can make that information available to our members.
Okay, and let's real quickly, we've got about a minute and a half, let's real quickly run down your convention program again.
We will have a welcome and a reception on Sunday afternoon. We will have a program on housing and different aspects of housing and funding for housing and buying houses and all that kind of stuff on Monday. Our meeting, our annual meeting, will be Monday evening. Tuesday, we have the How Money Works seminar in the afternoon. Thursday, we have the caucus with the Low Vision Group, Aging and Low Vision Group, or Aging and Vision Loss. Wednesday night, we have an outing to Anthony's restaurant. Thursday night, we're having a little picnic in our suite. And there's a support group every night late in the evening.
And the public is invited to attend all of these? Or what about things like the picnic in the suite? Probably not.
The picnic in the suite is pretty much for BFLAG members. Definitely the two workshops on Tuesday, well, on Monday, Tuesday, and the caucus on Thursday, anybody can come to get information. Those are all informational things. The annual meeting, you know, you can come unless you're, if you're not a member, you can't vote, but hey, I don't care, you know.
Yeah.
The support groups are mainly for BFLAG members or other people wanting information, but mostly it's for the members because, again, that's our time to talk about the issues and support for what we need.
So pretty much everything but the food and the picnic and the suite is. Well, that's great. And Connie, how can people reach you? Could you give an email address or a phone number, whatever you're comfortable with?
People can reach me personally at Connie David, ConnieDavid at earthlink.net.
That's Connie David at earthlink.net.
That's the best way. And then if you want me to call you, send me your phone number, and we'll get together.
Well, thank you so much for joining me on the program this week.
Absolutely.
And for sticking with it during the technical glitches. I'm Marlena. Next week, we hope to have another program in our series about the 43rd National Convention of the American Council of the Blind to be held in Alabama, Birmingham, July 3rd through 10th. So join me next week, and we'll all figure out what it is we're going to do. Thanks so much for listening, and everybody have a wonderful week.